Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. This is the day of the month that typically CA joins me, but for our monthly meeting of the minds, but we scheduled that for next week because today is CA's birthday. So happy birthday, CA. I hope you do something fun today, and I hope you really, really enjoy it. And I look forward to talking with you next week, which is always fun and always informational. So I hope you make the best of the day. That's what I hope for you. And I am certainly happy to be here today. If you are listening live, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I invite your comments and questions about today's topic, and I will respond to them after the show, because again, I am not a multitasker. I cannot watch the chat room and talk at the same time. You know, I can chew gum and walk sometimes, except I don't chew gum anymore, so maybe I should test that out again. But aside from the show, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm typically available mid to later morning, Pacific time, into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I happen to be busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text and will respond as soon as I can. I'll always do my best to meet your schedule. Today, however, is 12 Day on 12listen.com. That's our favorite day of the month. 12 is our number, the 12th of every month, we celebrate with random reduced rates on calls and chats. And what that means is we're all at a different price, and those prices are changed for us randomly throughout the day. So it's really fun. It adds a little extra pizzazz, you know, to a sale. And so those are random rates on calls and chats, but there's also very special pricing on other services. I have a 15-minute time-based session, my 12-day replenish special, at a terrific price for the day. I will be available online about 12:30 p.m. Pacific into the evening, and I would love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you. Today's a great day to come. Check out 12listen.com if you've not done that. And aside from today being our biggest sale of the month, we typically have reduced rates a few times a week, usually Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. Probably not tomorrow since today's a big day. But if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And that way you get everything. And aside from my special for today, my time-based session, my 15-minute replenish time-based session for 12 Day, my Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session will be available through spring. And it's just really all about taking advantage of this wonderful energy of momentum, this cardinal time of the year, this energy of things popping up. We walk by my neighbor's house as we walk, go on our walk, Grace and I, in the morning, and their crocuses are blooming. They're not just green, they're blooming, and they're so beautiful, kind of that dark blue purple color. They're just beautiful. But that's the first flower I've seen. So, and those are early risers, so to speak, out of the ground for spring. But they're beautiful. But I looked out and notice that the trees are filled with buds. And actually, they have been for a couple weeks now. So it's like, you know, nothing bleak, you know, bleak branches, and now they're full of buds. And it's just really amazing. My irises are greening up. The green of my irises are coming back in the yard, and there's a couple other little plants that I noticed out there. And it's just delightful. It's life. It's just absolute life. This is where we can really see that, you know, life has no end or opposite. You know, it just, and it's miraculous to view and to just take in that lovely energy. Now, we're expecting I think a pretty good snowstorm beginning tomorrow night and then through Thursday. So hopefully, really hopefully it doesn't like knock down a bunch of those buds or break down tree limbs. I don't know that it's supposed to be that much snow, but we'll have a great wet snow, which after that goes away, the green will multiply. So spring is beautiful. It's just beautiful, and it really is lovely here in Colorado because we do get a lot of moisture typically in March. But that time-based session is really about taking advantage of that, letting go of anything that's in the way of your momentum, because it's error. It's we are the individualization of source. So source is life, is forward motion, is thriving, flourishing life. That's what we are. That is our soul, self, being, consciousness, life, and mind. So anything that dampens that down is error. It has no power, no legs, no law. Therefore, it can be released. So that's the purpose of this time-based session. The other thing that I always remind you of is the gratitude board on onetolisten.com. Just post what you're grateful for. You can post anonymously. It's a great tool. It's moderated by the One to Listen advisors who add our attention to your intention and empower it in that way. So, there's no reason not to use it. You can post if there's something in your life that you've received that you are grateful for, we'll celebrate that with you. Or if it's something you're looking to bring in, as I said, we'll add our attention, which adds energy to it. And I just want to thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. One Two Radio is a great way to stay inspired. It's a great source of information and inspiration. And you can find archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at onetoradio.com. So, anytime you got a little spot or anytime you want to learn something new or just find out what somebody's about, we're all different. We're all very, very different. And we have different passions and different voices, And that's how, aside from One Two Radio, you have found the teachers in your life because of who they are, because all roads lead to Rome. Truth is truth. We are the individualization of source. That's truth, And so whatever we can learn to to be able to demonstrate that in a greater and greater way, and as I said, our teachers have had voices that we can connect with. We're all in a different, every man, every person is in their own evolution. No two are alike. No two are alike. And there's neither high nor low, right or wrong. They just are. It's where we are. And the thing is that source, that is the source of each and every one of us, nobody got cheated on that factor. Is the constant, right? Is the constant. All wisdom, all wisdom. Therefore, source, no matter where we are in our evolution, meets us where we are. Meets us where we are. It's what sees through our eyes, hears through our ears. The thing that lives us is source, is God, is all that is. So we draw where we are, we draw to ourselves our own. The teachers that we need, and teachers draw the students that can hear them. So whatever it is, whatever, if it's angels, if it's tarot, if it's whatever it is that helps you to feel expansive and empowered, use it. Use it because it's a powerful thing. And it's kind of like once you get when you find a teacher and you find something that really lights you up, and this is just my truth, you may have several things that you really are that you have fun with or that you are interested in, but my truth is if you are a serious seeker, if you are a serious student, somehow that kind of how do I don't want to say dwindles, that's not it. But things fall away until you find your true, the thing that lights you up more than anything. The teacher that lights you up more than anything. You know, the method, the whatever it is. Then I think when you find that and you can put your full focus on that, that's when things really broaden out. Even though you've kind of narrowed it down to one specific thing that lights you up, it's like for me, that was, and I've studied for, gosh, going on 40 years, I guess now, and read so many different teachers, which I teach on this show. You know that if you listen to this. But when I found Joel Goldsmith in The Infinite Way, I found my guru. I did. The little Jewish man from New York. Because Joel presented like a main line. You know, nothing else. Nothing else. Just you and your connection to source, which is your soul, self, being, consciousness, life, and mind. You find that connection, you get rooted in that, and then everything outside of you changes. And that's what I needed to hear. We're not all on that same place, but whoever does that for you, whoever rings true to you, and who feeds you, run with it. Run with it. Because then it moves outward from there. Because no matter who the teacher is, they are only a way shower. They are not the way. You know, they show the way to the infinite self of each of us, which is source. And when we can get all the stuff out of the way that impedes that connection, and that's not probably done in a bunch of lifetimes, but the idea is to drop stuff off your cart so that you can have a greater and greater feeling and expression of who you truly are. Who you truly are. And I'm gonna talk about that a little more later in a different way, but really and truly, listen, be inspired. And, you know, as I said, once you find your teacher, your way shower, it's like following breadcrumbs, because they kind of bring others along with them, or, you know, it expands. And it's funny. Today, I'm going to quote Dr. Irvin Seal, who is a very important teacher to me, very, very important teacher to me before I started reading The Infinite Way. But what I read today is something that I've read a million times, but it falls right along with what I'm talking about, and you'll find that out. But he quotes the Bhagavad Gita, he quotes the Tao, he quotes Gandhi, and he quotes Marcus Aurelius. And when I read that the first time, back then, I wasn't acquainted. I've been acquainted with the Tao for a long time, but I wasn't acquainted with Hinduism or Buddhism or, you know, and so to read that, I just went, I'll be darned. You know, I never realized it before. And so anyway, just you find your teacher and your teacher finds you, period. You can know that and it will happen. So anyway, that was a bit of a segue. Thank you, Jay, for producing the show today and for all that you do for us on 1-2 Radio. And we're going to shift into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Jai Jai by Zingaya from the Sundari CD and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it, and I will be right back. You are listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I am so happy that you're here.
Bavila sanu desi to yot di mujhe bichoda paaya
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. You could kind of chair dance to it, couldn't you? I thought it was really nice and jazzy. You know, I have, as usual, I have a lot of stuff rattling around in my head that I want to talk about. And I feel it all goes together after I did my outline for the show. But we'll see. And I want to start with the thing that spurred me to write this. Pardon me. And that is my roof. I think I mentioned it in the last show, but you know, my house has a flat roof. It's a modern home. It was built in 1951. It's a true mid-century modern. And we had it remodeled 4 years ago, and they added a room. So that room had a new roof, but the old part of the house didn't. I mean, I had my roof replaced in 2001, and really haven't had, well, when they did the remodel, they didn't butt the roofs up. They didn't seal it. So we did have a leak at that point, but really, I mean, it's a membrane roof. It's not shingles. It's like a rubber. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't get hail damage. It doesn't get wind damage. Hail bounces off. But the roof, the building, because it sits on the earth, that's the thing about modern houses. Modern houses are really cool. They were a thing that came about in the 1950s, basically, late 40s, early 50s. They were popular because they could build them easily, efficiently, and inexpensively. And they're basically a rectangle. The heart of the home or the mechanical system is right in the middle. And on either side of it is the bathroom and the kitchen. So everything is just, it's just very simple. And many of them are slab on grade, like mine. It's just cement poured over the earth. And so because of that, the earth changes, the earth settles, things happen. So the house kind of doesn't move like if it were a houseboat, but it does move. And, you know, it's just, this house has been my soul sister since I bought it 32 years ago. It'll be 32 years in April. And she doesn't have a square corner, and things change, and the floor, you know, is not always level. But anyway, it's just what it is. It's the nature of the beast. So with it settling and moving, it creates in the roof dips and stuff. So water ponds, and that's not what you want to see. And I knew it was time to be thinking about it and a new roof. And then, which is not cheap. I mean, let me just tell you that is not cheap. And the cost of it kind of struck terror in my heart. but I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. No, I'm not. I was thinking about it. It's something that I wanted to do. When Channon's insurance money came in, it's like I had some things that I needed to do, and I knew that the roof was one of them. And I knew it wasn't going to be cheap, and I knew it had to be done, because every year around the time that my insurance was going to renew, I held my breath, because if they would have come out and done an inspection, they could have seen, you know, that there were dips in the roof. It wasn't leaking, but that it needed to be done. So this year, my hand was forced, but my hand was forced on the year that I'm able to do this, right? So I have to talk about this from the standpoint of grace and being supported. Every minute I am supported. I just forget that at times. So I get a letter from my insurance company saying that we're leaving Colorado. And so you have to find a new insurance carrier by April 15th. And I just went, oh, okay. Well, I had already talked to the roofer who did the roof in 2001, who I absolutely love. And he was going to just, he has had a method to fix it, fix the slope so that it didn't have the ponding and take care of that. Well, when I called to find out about insurance, I found out, and the reason the insurance, there are several insurance carriers leaving Colorado because apparently we are number four or three in the country for hail damage. And last year there was a bunch of hail damage. My roof got none, but there was. My car didn't get hit either. I mean, it was just great. Maybe we were, Shannon always says, the bubble that I put around put around the house. That he always said it kept out rain, but I think it also kept out hail and other things that we didn't want. But anyway, so there are several carriers that are leaving Colorado because of that. And so I started calling around, and the first question with the couple of people that I talked to was, "How old is your roof?" First question, especially, well, that's a question for everybody, I'm sure. And I said, "Well, it's a flat roof, and it was done in 2001." And they said, "Any flat roof that is more than 15 years old is ineligible for insurance." So, as I said, my hand was forced. I had no choice. So I went back to the man that was going to fix the roof, Ronnie, and I said, "Well, it looks like I've got to have a whole new roof, and I have to have it by April 15th, or else I'm in trouble insurance-wise. My mortgage company, if you don't have insurance and you have a mortgage, they can force place. It's called force placing insurance, and that is really, really expensive. So, I mean, I was just, when I found that out, that was about 2 weeks ago, I think. Yeah, it was about 2 weeks ago. And I just went, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So, I got a hold of him and said, "I need to get a new roof. I got a new insurance company." I mentioned that. That was the letter that came in to Channon, addressed to Channon. And I called them. That's in the works. That's great. And so everything started to come together. And I was thinking, I wasn't sure if I wanted to borrow the money for the roof and not use what I had. But then it's an interesting thing. So this is another part of this. But let me finish this part of the story. So last Thursday, Ronnie came out. He brought his guy that's going to manage the project. They get up on the roof, they look around. He gives me a contract that is substantially less than another roofer that I had talked to, who couldn't even get a bid to me for 2 more weeks, let alone who knows when they could have gotten the project done. But as he's out there, he said, "Okay." He goes, "Here's the contract. Sign the contract," because the insurance company needed the contract. And he said, "We're going to start this on the 18th. It'll probably take us a couple of weeks, but you will be done. You'll meet your goal. You'll be done in plenty of time before your insurance expires." Now, that was phenomenal because roofers are busy. But he told Scott happened to be out there finishing up something. He had something to finish up in the floor in the guest room, and Scott is my contractor. And he was talking to Scott, and Scott said after Ronnie left, he said, "Oh yeah," he said, "we have clients from that we get from Angie's List and all over, customers, I guess is a better word for roofer. We have customers that we get from all over, from Angie's List and from different places." But he said, "If it this is somebody," he said, "I did this roof when I was just getting started in my own business. My own business wasn't that old." He said, "She's like family. They go to the top of the list." So, I mean, who else would have done that? nobody else would have done that. Plus, I just love him. You know, he's the facts and nothing but the facts, you know. And this is what's going to happen. We're going to start on the 18th. We're going to have a roll off, a big, you know, the big construction bins out here. We're going to put it on this side of your driveway so that you can get in and out of your driveway and in and out of your gate, which is a good thing. We're going to start, and it'll take 2 weeks because we have to do it, you know, piece by piece, because I got to take it off and then they got to build it back up and all that stuff. But he said it will be done in plenty of time. And I just looked at him and I said, can I give you a hug? So I gave him a hug, and he goes, hugs? Yes. He goes, I'll take a hug anytime. And so it was just great. I said, you have no idea how much I appreciate you and just appreciate you doing this and being able to do it as quickly, because I can probably say pretty convincingly that nobody else would have done that. So here he is, you know, here's an example of drawing to yourself your own, and vice versa, right? If you draw to yourself your own, it's a win-win. It's a win-win. And of course we do, because, you know, that source that is us knows what we need before we need it. And after he left, I was talking to Scott, and I said, I feel like the world has just fallen off my shoulders. I feel so relieved. I don't know what to do with myself. And it, you know, it's like, yes, here's a big, you know, a substantial amount of money to pay for this. But when I was looking at, you know, I'd investigated, with my bank, you know, what it would cost to just get a loan for it. And that felt awful. You know, just, it was like doing that. It was so stressful, because, and that just came out of fear, right? Fear and panic. Oh my gosh, here's a big chunk of money that needs to get paid. Here's all these deadlines that need to be met, which are being met minute by minute. They were just met minute by minute. And when I finally decided I'm not doing that, you know, here's the money. I have it. And that's the thing about money. That's the thing about supply. We have what we need when we need it. And again, if you're, you know, like Stuart Wilde always said, if you're saving for a rainy day, it will rain. You can bet on it. But if you keep that flowing, it allows more. You know, it's the inlet and outlet of supply. So when I just made that decision to do it that way, again, I just felt totally and completely free, absolutely free. But of course, you know, the first response is, oh my God, here we go. Here's another big thing to deal with. Well, it isn't. It just is what it is. I have no choice, right? I have no choice. I did have a choice in how I wanted to pay for it, but everything, you know, it's like, okay, this has to be done. I'm on board. Then things fall in place. Everything falls in place. So, you know, the tap dancing is over. And that's what I was doing. You know, it's like, even to include tap dancing included having the roof, you know, thinking I could get the roof repaired. Well, it's still a 22-year-old roof. You know, at some point, okay, it's going to be repaired, but at some point it's going to need to be replaced. And now the whole thing, everything, to include the new addition, it's going to have a beautiful new roof. It's going to be solid and done right, because he is meticulous, and I don't have to think about it for 30 years, you know? May have to replace it one more time in my lifetime, because we live a long time in my family. But for right now, it's done. And that just opened up my space, right? It, you know, giving that, whatever it is that you give, whatever it is you have to do, You know, it's you look things in the eye, you see them for what they are, and then a path shows up for you and how to take care of it. It just does. It just has proved itself to me over and over and over. Stop resisting. It is what it is. It cannot make me feel any way other than the way I choose to let it affect me. And when you stop letting it affect you, because again, it is what it is. You have to take care of it. Then here come the angels. You know, here come the angels, as in Ronnie. Ronnie's an angel. Scott's an angel. You know, everybody that shows up to help is my conscious oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being, idea, and thing. And we all support each other. So that's the story I wanted to start with. And now I want to talk about Irvin Seal, because this really does all go together. Irvin Seal, Dr. Irvin Seal, wrote a book called Take Off From Within. It is a phenomenal book. As I said earlier, he's one of my favorite teachers. I just love him. Reading Dr. Seal is like being wrapped in a chenille blanket. He just writes so beautifully and so clearly that he's a joy and a delight. Anyway, there's a chapter called The Bystanding Mind, which the bystanding mind is another word for the beholder. He wrote, be a beholder. To be a beholder is to be inwardly aloof while outwardly active. As Gandhi once said, renounce the world, then take it back again on other terms. The bystanding mind is involved without being embroiled. It is attention without attachment. It is being on top of the job and not having your work ride you. Undoubtedly, each human life has its quota of suffering. But the only purpose and service of suffering is to awaken understanding. With each increase of understanding, the quota of suffering lessens. Dr. Irvin Seal, take on. So, not coincidentally, along with reading that, I've been listening to, pardon my voice, excuse me, I've been listening to a series of lectures by Alan Watts called The Ways of Liberation, and that's on alanwatts.org. In the lecture on Buddhism, it's called On Buddhism, he says that Buddhism is not a religion, but a method of liberation that begins with the Four Noble Truths. Now, I'm quoting from that, but this is not verbatim. The first is the truth about suffering. The Hindu word is dukkha, which equates to chronic frustration. The second, and this is Alan Watts' interpretation, which is just brilliant. The second is the truth about the cause of suffering. The Hindu word is trishna, which equates to desiring, clinging, craving. Those things create suffering. The third is the truth about ceasing suffering. And the Hindu phrase is nichkama karma, which equates to passionless activity or doing life without taking it seriously. Do all that you're called to do in life in a let-go way, Watts says, in a let-go way. The fourth truth is the Eightfold Path. And the Eightfold Path is instruction on how to achieve that passionless activity. Pardon me, just to read them off, the Eightfold Path is right understanding, right purpose, right speech, right conduct, right occupation, right effort, right attention, and right meditation. So in my personal truth or my personal interpretation of that, it's integrity, right? You know, right understanding, right speech, right livelihood, right purpose, right occupation, right effort. To me, it can be encapsulated in the word integrity. And when we work in integrity, when we live our lives in integrity, again, integrity draws to us that vibration. You know, we draw to us people who live in integrity. So it's just the Eightfold Path is that, okay, how can I say this? It's doing the best you can. Let's put it that way. It's doing the best you can. You know, it's desire. Desire is the cause of suffering, but, and I'm back to what Watts said, it is impossible to let go of all desire, because even the desire to let go of all desire is a desire. I mean, it's impossible. So the Eightfold Path is a balanced middle way. A teacher, a Buddhist teacher, would tell a student who says, I'm trying so hard to stop desiring, but I can't. So the teacher would say, stop desiring to stop desiring, and stop desiring as much as you can, and go from there. Do what you can. You cannot desire, but you can eliminate suffering by not clinging or being attached to it. See, that's it. You know, it's like when we have to have something, we're eliminating it from our experience, and that causes even more frustration. I mean, it just does. I mean, when I said that, it's like my chest closed up. You know, I have to figure out how to pay for this roof. My chest closed up. You know, oh my gosh, I got to see what I can do. I got to, you know, oh, you know what I'm talking about, even though probably a roof is not in your universe at the moment. but that's it. You know, I have to have this. I have to have that. And the whole motivation for that to have is ego. It's ego. And the part of ego ego is mortal, which is why ego can be so forceful and so put up so much resistance to things, because it dies with the physical body. It is a construct of personality in this lifetime. That's what it is. And so everything is serious. Everything is big, life or death, you know, not everything, but many things according to ego, because its job is to keep you safe and separate. Period. So watch out. That world is a big, bad world out there. And all of those kind of things. So, you know, so ego is the thing that perpetuates suffering. And this is an interesting phrase. Believing is clinging. Watts said there's no salvation in believing. There is only salvation in knowledge. The ego is unreal. Remember, back to Shankara, back to Hinduism. The only real thing is what is eternal. Therefore, the only real is Brahman, source, God, whatever your word is for the divine ground, all that is, the Tao. That is the only thing that is real, because it doesn't change. It is eternal. Everything else, to include the ego, everything in this physical experience, in this dream, is unreal. And so the Atman is the individual self, or the Christ, the infinite self. So the ego being unreal, it is called in Hinduism, the anatman, the non-atman. So the not the true self. The Buddha said any atman you could cling to is not the real atman. It is ego. So whatever we're clinging to, even, you know, the good things that we want, whatever we're clinging to, you have something you want to experience in your life and you're clinging to it, you're going to suffer. You just are, because what we can't, it's that we do it to ourselves. The Atman, the true Atman, the true self, is the witness. It's the witness that looks out through your eyes. Therefore, you can't see your own eyes or hear your own ears. I am not my feelings, my body, my mind, my thoughts, because I can be aware of them. Therefore, they're not me. They're not me. I am. I am that I am. Thou art that. The Atman, the Brahman, which is the same thing. The Atman is simply just the personal Brahman. But we're all one thing. God is, period. So that's what lives us. That's the thing that lives us. Source. And the Buddha goes on to say that you know, you cannot know the Atman, because the Atman or Brahman or God or Source or all that is the knower. And the knower contains the known. That's powerful. The knower contains the known. We're in that. We are contained in Source, in God, in the universe, in the Tao. So the highest knowledge, according to the sages of the Upanishads, is non-knowledge. We can't know it. We can only be it. As Ram Dass talked about the Father that way. We cannot know the Father. We can only be the Father and be that instrument through which it flows and demonstrates in our lives, as our lives. And when I was listening to that, it reminded me of the first paragraph in the Tao Te Ching. I mean, it's like, it's exactly the first paragraph in the Tao Te Ching, which says, the Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the source of heaven and earth. The named is the mother of the 10,000 things. Physicality. Desireless, one may behold the mystery. Desiring, one may see the manifestations. Though one in origin, they emerge with distinct names. Both are mysteries. Depth within depth, the threshold of all secrets. The knower contains the known. Isn't that beautiful? I just love it. See, that goes back to truth is truth. Truth is truth. Many different voices, many different way showers, right? But going back to the statement, believing is clinging, that is a powerful, powerful statement. You know, beliefs are not truth. They are ego. Ego being, as I said a minute ago, a construct made up of our experiences and our beliefs about ourselves and the feedback that we've gotten from other people about ourselves. The associative mind that comes rushing to the forefront every time we encounter something new that, you know, tells us how we have to act about it. In other words, okay, I need a new roof. Oh, remember the last time that happened? okay, this is something I need to deal with. Here comes the associative mind with a laundry list of the last time something like this happened, either from your own experience or somebody that you know who shared their experience with you. We never have a new experience. We don't, because that ego, that mind blasts onto the scene, again, trying to keep us safe and separate by judging everything we encounter. Judging it as right or wrong. It has to fall into a category. It cannot just be. Which brings me to an important point. Nothing can affect you in any way that you do not agree to. Negative things happen in this lifetime. This is life. It comes as it comes. And no, you did not consciously agree to feel bad. But if your perception of what occurs is bad, if you perceive it as bad, feelings follow. Feelings follow. Stuart Wilde said that when we judge anything, we drop to the level of the thing that we judge, which immediately makes us susceptible to its vibration. And feelings follow. Agreement is a strong thing that is constantly occurring, because when we perceive something as bad, we're in agreement with that perception, right? And then, you know, feelings follow. But, you know, it's constantly occurring, but we don't think about it because it's just the way we operate. But we can change that. Perception determines how anything affects, not the thing. It has no nothing to it. It's what we think about it. It's how we judge it. Living in a quote-unquote let-go way, I love that. Not clinging to the way we want things to be, but having what is without resisting it, makes for a much more peaceful life. Because we're just okay. And we can be the observers of life unfolding as it will without taking it personally. We can be in the knower, right? We can be in the knower. That's something to just take into meditation if you choose to. You know, just being in that infinite God mind that meets every demand. That's the knower. That's the Lord of love, the Lord of light that lives in the golden cathedral of the heart, where we can just go and touch that peace that passes understanding, right? That's it. That's the knower. And because we cannot know the knower, we are the known within the knower, then we can just sit there and let it take over and rest and watch miraculous things happen. And that just feels a whole lot better than struggling. A whole lot better. And on that note, we're at the end of the show. Thank you so much for being with me today. I hope it was valuable. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we relate to our world, because indeed we do create it. Our world is us pushed outward. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, everyone, and have a very blessed week.